It's good to see everybody this morning. I was thinking this week that about my job and thinking about kind of what was the most challenging parts of my job. And it takes a lot of time and energy and effort to prepare talks and then communicate them. But really the hardest part of my job I recognized this week was actually like doing the stuff that we talk about. You know, like it's easy for me to stand on stage and talk about it, tell you all to do it, hope that you go home and do it. But the most challenging part of my job is for me to actually go home and do this stuff, especially the stuff we've been talking about the last few weeks in our series called Emojis. We've been talking about this idea of being in control of our emotions and not being victims to our circumstances, that we can rise above, we can experience joy even when life isn't fun, we can experience peace even when life is chaotic. And it's fun to talk about, but it's really difficult to go home and live out. And maybe even some of y'all have experienced that as you tried to go home and apply the stuff that we're talking through as we study through the book of Philippians. And just a few weeks ago, after I spoke on 4th of July weekend, Brittany and I took the kids to Holiday World for a day. And you know, I really don't like standing in line for hardly anything in life. I would rate the things that I hate the most in the world to be like terrorism, racism, and then like a close third is standing in line. Like I just don't enjoy waiting. And so we spent the whole day with me either sitting on a bench waiting with my son Trust, who's disabled, or standing in line to ride a ride that I really didn't want to ride. And I was trying to convince myself, you know, because I'd find myself getting in a bad mood. Like, I don't have to be in a bad mood. Like, I'm in control of my emotions. I was kind of talking through some of the stuff that we've been talking through. And I kind of convinced myself that I don't have to be in a bad mood. It was like the more I talked to myself, the worse mood I got in, you know. And I realized, like, this is really challenging stuff. And what we found is that Paul wrote this letter to this group of Christians in the city called Philippi, really at the most difficult time in his life. He's sitting in prison. Financially, he's broke. He's by himself, potentially facing execution. I mean, life is falling apart for Paul. Yet when we read this letter that he wrote in this setting, we don't find someone's feeling sorry for themselves, someone that's down and out, someone that's depressed, discouraged, ready to throw in the towel. Instead, we see this resolve, this resilience, this determination to rise above and experience joy in this horrible circumstance, to experience peace even when life was squeezing in on him. And to be honest, I don't often feel that in life. Even when things aren't that bad, it's challenging to walk this stuff out. And today, we're going to continue this conversation. We're only going to look at six verses today, six verses where Paul probably gives us the most challenging things to do, even though they're really simple. We can all do it. It's applicable for each person in here. It doesn't require some spiritual giftedness. You don't have to be really, really mature in your faith. It's just a decision that all of us can make today. And the Bible lets us know that if we do the things that we talk about today, that we can experience peace, like a peace that only God can give us, that we don't have to be stressed out and anxious and worried, but we can actually feel the peace that God wants us to give us. We're going to be in Philippians chapter 4. Starting in verse 4, Paul says something that he's kind of said throughout the entire book. We've read this throughout. He says multiple times in verse 4, he says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." I'll say it again, Paul says, rejoice. You know, always is a lot of the time, right? And I read that and I think, like, Paul, we're like, really? Like, always in every situation, we should rejoice, we should find joy. In every single situation, Paul, like really? I know when we were at Holiday World Chapel, my daughter, who's 9, wanted to ride her first roller coaster. And so we got into the park, we went straight to a roller coaster, we waited for about 20 or 30 minutes. We were finally at the front of the line. There was just a few more people before us, and they blow the horn. There was lightning in the area, and so we just stood there. And I said, "Chuck, let's just wait. Maybe the storm will blow through, and we can just wait here, and we'll be right the next person in line." And so we stayed there. We waited for over an hour. The entire time we were there, we were standing next to these two teenage girls. And for that entire hour, they broke down the MTV show 16 and Pregnant, like broke it down. They went through the dialogue and the undertones and the behind-the-scenes footage. And I don't know if you've ever stood next to two teenage girls breaking down the show 16 and Pregnant, but something happens to your brain. It begins to melt. Like, you get dumber the longer that you stand there. And I was standing there. I found myself getting in a really bad mood. And I was trying to tell myself, like, just rejoice. You can find joy in this. Paul said that I can find joy in this. And I started thinking, but Paul's never been through this. Like, 16 and pregnant did not exist then, right? And so I'm standing there. I'm trying to rejoice. I couldn't find any joy. This is easy to talk about, really hard to apply. But all throughout this, the book, Paul continues to say, I'm in prison. Life didn't turn out the way I wanted it to, but I'm finding joy in whatever circumstance I find myself in. Then he says this in verse 5, let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Paul said, really, it should be obvious to everyone around us that our approach to life is different. By the way we respond and not react, but by the way we go about our business, by the way we work, by the way we treat other people, it should be obvious to everyone that we're different through our gentleness, right? And the truth is, as followers of Christ, we're probably known for a lot of things in our culture. We're known for our political views, maybe, or judgmentalism, self-righteousness, a lot of things that people would say about followers of Christ. Paul says, hey, this should be evident. This should be obvious to your neighbors, your coworkers, the people that work with you, the people that work for you. Like, they are different. They treat me different than everybody else. It's just obvious. I mean, what would our world look like if every follower of Christ, this was true about them, that their gentleness, their approach to life was just different? How much better world would we live in? Let's bring it a little bit closer to home. What if just everybody in this room decided, you know what? That's going to be my life. I'm going to respond. I'm not going to react. I'm going to be gentle. It's going to be evident to everybody that I encounter that I'm different. How different would our community be? How different would our workplace be if we just live this out and we recognize, listen, we can have joy regardless of what's going on in our lives. We're not victims to our circumstances. Even when everybody else is upset and overwhelmed and stressed out, we can have joy. We can be gentle with everyone that we're around. How different would our world be? Paul said, let me help you out with this. Let your gentleness be evident to everyone. The Lord is near. Now, there's a couple of ways that we can read this. Potentially, Paul is saying, hey, don't forget this. God's near. He hasn't forgotten about you, right? And that's often why we lose our joy. That's why we're not gentle and how we approach people and how we handle people, because we forget that God's with us. We get overwhelmed by our circumstances. We feel like God has forgotten about us, that we're just doomed for failure. Worst case scenario is going to happen. And we forget that God is with us and he cares about us and he'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. He'll give us the strength to go through whatever it is that we need to go through. God is with us. Paul said, let your gentleness be evident to everyone. Don't forget, God's with you. He's with you every single day. The other way I think we can read this is that the Lord is near. Paul is saying the return of Christ is really close. Our lives are going to come to an end. Everything that you're stressed out about, it's temporary. It's not going to last long. And that's why I think Paul could go through what he was going through, sitting in prison, potentially facing execution, but sitting there, he knew this, it's just temporary. It's not going to last long. That's why I can rejoice. That's why I can respond with gentleness to people who are around me, because I know this is not going to last. It's a completely different perspective. And then he says this in verse 6, one of the most famous verses in Philippians, but really one of the most challenging to apply. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Don't be anxious about anything. Like, really, Paul, anything, there's nothing that we could go through that shouldn't make us feel overwhelmed, discouraged, anxious, fearful. Really, don't be anxious about anything. I mean, in our culture, like, being anxious and nervous is just a part of being an adult. I mean, stress just kind of goes with it. I mean, if you're an adult and you got a job and bills to pay, maybe you're married, you got kids, you have responsibilities. Life is just stressful, right? It's a part of the world that we live in. It's the mature thing to do is to be stressed out. You got responsibilities. That's why if you ask a mature adult, how was your week? Oh, it was good, you know, busy, got a lot going on with the kids, work, you know. I mean, like, that's what a mature adult says. You would ever go up to an adult and say, how was your week? And they'd say, oh, great. Not a stress in the world. You know, you would think, what are you smoking, man? Get a job. Like, how is your life have no stress? What kind of world do you live in? We just assume that being stressed is a part of how we're supposed to live our lives. Yet Paul says, don't be anxious about anything. There's no excuse. There's no excuse to ever be stressed out and anxious. But I think even in our culture, there's like social pressure to be stressed out. Like things that you're not nervous about, people will want to make you nervous about. When Brittany and I had our first child chapel, we were living in Birmingham at the time. You know, we didn't have any family down there, so we didn't really have a lot of help. I was pastoring a church. She was working. And so life had to continue on. We had things that we had to do. So chapel just went with us. I mean, really within a few days of her being born, we were just taking her everywhere that we went. And we would meet other families. We would say, oh, you know, when we had our child, our pediatrician told us that they didn't need to leave the house for like 6 months. Her immune system wasn't fully developed. And there's all these germs. And like, I wasn't nervous about it, but I felt bad, you know, because they would say, well, it's okay if you take yours out. Like, yeah, you stink as a parent, take them out. You know, and so I felt bad about taking her out. I'm like, should we be nervous about this? Should we be anxious about it? It bothered me, but I felt social pressure to worry about the same things that everyone else worried about. I mean, that's just the world we live in. If you're mature, that's just what you do. And so many of us, we just live our lives that way. We live constantly stressed out and worried. We live in fear. And for some of us, it makes us feel comfortable because that's all we know. We wouldn't know what to do if we weren't stressed about something. We weren't afraid. You know, for a lot of us, fear is our comfort because fear keeps us on the sideline. I mean, if we're afraid, we never step out and do something that we don't normally do. I mean, fear keeps us where we are. That's why some of us aren't serving here at Grace because you're afraid. You're afraid maybe you're not good enough, there's somebody could do it better than you, or you start trying, it doesn't work out, so you just stay on the sideline. The reason why some of us aren't in small groups is fear. We're afraid, well, what if people get to know me and they know I'm not really what they thought I was? Maybe they'll reject me, and so we just kind of stay on the sidelines. We don't ever really get actively involved. Fear keeps us where we are, and for some of us, it's really comfortable. And that's all we know is stress and anxiety and feeling overwhelmed and carrying the weight of the world home with you and your family feeling the brunt of what's going on at your workplace. It's just the way you live your life. But stress and anxiety, man, it just wears us out. It causes us to exert so much energy. I mean, even think about this week, all the things that you were worried about, all the things that caused anxiety and stress in your life. If you wrote all those things down, how many of those things really happened this week? Probably none of them or very few of them. I mean, often we stress out, we create this worst case scenario of what could potentially happen, and those things never happen, and it causes us to use so much energy. And Paul says, well, there's another way to live. Most of you are going to continue to live like that. It's the only thing that you know, and you're comfortable in it. But some of you want to live different. You don't want to have to carry that stuff around. You know, the truth is, when we experience stress and anxiety, it's a great indicator that we're probably trying to do something that we weren't created to do. We're stepping over into God's category. We're trying to control things that are uncontrollable. We're trying to fix things that we weren't created to fix. That's a great indicator that you're trying to be someone you're not. We are not God. He is, right? And so often we get caught trying to do things that only God has created us to do. But Paul says there's another option. The other option is not be anxious, but instead pray. With prayer and petition, make your request known to God with thanksgiving. Paul says, instead of using all this energy to be stressed out and anxious and try to fix things, why don't you use that same energy and talk to someone who could actually do something? Give that stuff over to God. Allow him to be in control of things that he's supposed to be in control of anyways. See, what happens when we pray is we're really opening the door for God to work in our lives. He already wants to be good to us. He wants to bless us. He wants to help us. He wants to give us the strength to go through whatever it is that we're going through. But when we try to do it and we're stressed out, we're anxious, and we're working as hard as we can, what we're saying is, God, I got this. Or we could pause and open the door and say, all right, God, I need your help. And something great happens when we do that. When we open the door and we invite God into our circumstance, this is what Paul says that happens in verse 7. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. But Paul says when we make this our first response, when we just turn it over to him, we will experience this peace that goes beyond our understanding. It's supernatural. It's something that doesn't make sense. It's not going to make sense to you. It's definitely not going to make sense to people around you because your circumstances probably aren't going to change. Peace has nothing to do with circumstances. Peace has something to do with what God gives us. And so when God gives us peace, things can still be going crazy around us, but we can have this calmness in our hearts and our minds, Paul says. So let me ask you, what's your first response? When things don't go well, when things don't work out, when you don't get your way, do you get angry? Do you get frustrated? Does everyone around you know how your day was and how work was? Does your family feel that? Do you carry the weight of the world with you? Paul says, you continue living like that, or you quit being anxious and just give it over to God, and you can experience this supernatural peace, this peace that doesn't make sense. When everyone else is afraid, you don't have to be afraid. When we were in Uganda adopting our son Jude, we got to go on this one day, one night safari. So we got to the game park, we got to see animals, and then we stayed at this campground, and then we were going to get up and leave the next morning. Well, that night at the campground, we ate dinner together as a family. And then I went to get in this outdoor shower area to clean up a little bit. And the plan was to put on some clothes, go down and get the family, bring them back to the bungalow, and we were going to go to sleep. So I went ahead and took my medicine. I take an Ambien every night to help me sleep. So I took my Ambien. My back had been bothering me, and so I went to this Ugandan pharmacy. And, you know, the great thing about Ugandan pharmacies, you don't have to have a doctor's note. You just tell them what you want. I said, hey, my back's hurting. They said, what do you want? I said, a muscle relaxer would be great. So they gave me some muscle relaxers. So I took an Ambien and a Ugandan muscle relaxer. So I go down to get the family, and the plan was to bring them right back up. But we got talking to another family. And as we're talking, I could feel like the medicine just kick into my system. And I'm not sure the chemical reaction between Ambien and a Ugandan muscle relaxer, but I felt invincible, like a version of like Jesus and Superman put together, like I could tackle the world. And as we were standing there and I'm getting this great feeling inside of me, there was a hippopotamus that came up into the campground. Now, we had been warned that hippos were the most dangerous animals there. They kill more people than lions and tigers and elephants worldwide. They're the most dangerous animals. So everybody was afraid. You know who wasn't afraid? Me. I just had this something going on inside of me. So I don't remember a lot of this story. Brittany had to fill in a few details. But I announced to the whole campground that I was going to go touch the hippo. To everybody, I'm going to go touch the hippo. And Brittany's trying to talk to me, but I wasn't having it. And so I start wandering out towards the hippo. Everyone else is afraid. Brittany eventually comes, grabs me by my ear, drags me back to the bungalow, doesn't talk to me for 3 days. And worst thing, she took away my muscle relaxers. Didn't have any more of those. But it was weird. Everyone else was afraid. I wasn't afraid. I had something supernatural going on inside of me. And Paul said, this is what happens. Everyone else is going to be stressed out. Everyone else is going to be anxious. Everyone else is going to feel overwhelmed and afraid. But when you give it over to him, you feel something completely different and people aren't going to understand. Why are you not upset? Why are you not stressed out? Why are you not overwhelmed? Because you're experiencing a peace that only God can give you. And Paul continues on in verse 8 and says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. Paul said, okay, this is just how this works. Choose to rejoice. Respond with gentleness. When you feel overwhelmed and anxious, just give it to God. And then get your mind focused on the right things, on things that are true, things that are right. Because our body tends to react on the things that we think about. You know, you could think about something that's completely untrue, that's a lie, and your body will respond to that. You ever done this? You ever thought you lost your wallet? And all of a sudden you have this sense like, oh my gosh, I had $200 in that. Your stomach starts hurting, your heart starts racing, you start sweating. I can't believe this. And then you think, oh, no, it's on the counter. You go over and you pick it up. Like nothing happened. What you thought was true wasn't true, but your body responded as if it was true. We've all had that experience. And the same is true in our spiritual life. When we start thinking about things that are not true, our body responds that way. When you start believing that you're in charge and you have to fix that and you're in control of that, or you're not good enough, or God has forgotten about you, and you start believing those lies, your body will respond with stress and anxiety. And what Paul said that we have to do, so we have to give it over to God. Then we got to think about things that are true and right and lovely. We got to focus on the things that God says about us, that you're going to make it, that God won't leave you, that he's got great things in store for you. He has a plan for your life. And when you start thinking about what God says about you, your body will respond with calmness and peace. My mom said this to us always growing up, garbage in, garbage out. She always talked to us about what we looked at and what we listened to and how important that was. If we feed ourselves with that, eventually that stuff's going to come out of us. And we know that's true in our physical lives. I mean, when we eat good and we eat healthy foods and we have portion control, I mean, after a while, we feel good. We feel lighter. We feel better. We know that. What we put in our body helps us perform at a higher level. But man, cheesecake just tastes really good sometimes, doesn't it? Big bowl of ice cream, chocolate chip pancakes, like a gift from God, you know. But when we consume those things, what happens to us? We feel slow and lethargic. You know what I mean? What we put in is what comes out of us. And Paul said, so important that when you give this stuff over to God, that you get your mind focused on the right things. That's why it's so important every day we open our Bible and read what God has to say about us, that we get around other people who encourage us and spur us on. Just in a few weeks, we're going to be signing up for small groups here for the fall. That's why I encourage everybody to be in a small group, because you need to be around other people who are followers of Christ, who will encourage you and push you in the right direction. It's so important that we're feeding ourselves good stuff, because what we put in eventually will come out of us. Paul says, give it over to God and get your mind focused on the right stuff. Then he says this in closing in verse 9. Whatever you've learned or received or heard from me or even seen in me, here's the key, put it into practice. And listen to this great promise, and the God of peace will be with you. Now, Paul says, I've taught you this. I've explained this stuff to you. It's real simple. It's easy to talk about. It's easy to read. There's just a few verses here. But the key is you got to do it. It doesn't work just talking about it or thinking about it. It's like buying a treadmill or an elliptical machine. A lot of us have them in our homes. And probably most of them are great coat racks, or we lay our clothes over them, right? It was a great idea. And the thought of it's a great thought, but if we don't actually get on it and use it, then it doesn't work for us. And Paul says it's real simple. You can either live like everybody else and be overwhelmed and stressed out and anxious and try to control things you can't control, or you can experience God's peace, but it requires some intentionality. You have to do something. This isn't going to just happen on its own. You don't just get God's peace for no reason. You have to do the things that Paul said that we got to do. So that's how we're going to respond this morning. If you will, go ahead and grab your connection card for me. Go ahead and get it out. And when you get it out and have it ready, would you just show it to me so I know that we're ready to move on to the next step? If you will, go ahead and show it to me. Four of us are ready, okay? A few more of us, all right. This is what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to ask you to think about the thing in your life right now you need God to do. Maybe it's causing a lot of stress and anxiety in your life, something you tried to control or fix and you just can't do that. And if you could just say, God, if you'd help me with this one thing, this would be my one thing. This is what I need help with. Paul says, by prayer and petition, just make your request known to God. So what I'm going to ask you to do is just on those blanks there on your connection card, if you will, just go ahead and write that down. Whatever the biggest prayer request in your life is, and this is going to do a couple things for us. One, it's going to help each of us kind of identify the thing that we're holding on to, the thing we're trying to fix, the thing that we need God to do for us. The second thing that's going to happen is as a staff, we're going to pray for these things with you. The Bible lets us know that when multiple people get together and they start praying and believing that God does even extraordinary things in our lives. And so we want to be praying with you. I mean, really, we got to make the decision. Are we going to continue to carry that stuff around, do it on our own, try to fix it? Or do we want to experience a peace that only God can give us? Really easy to talk about, really difficult to apply. But this morning, I think there's some of us who say, man, I'm ready to live different. I don't just want to react and kind of ride the wave of what's going on in life. I want to experience God's peace. If that's you, would you just bow your heads with me? just kind of walk through the things that Paul asked us to do. Would you just make the deliberate decision to rejoice in your circumstance, wherever you're at? And I know some of us, we're not where we want to be. Things aren't going well in life. We're not getting our way. It's your decision. What are you going to do? Paul said, rejoice always. Make the decision you're going to find joy in your journey. No more complaining, no more griping. You're not a victim. Just find joy. And then would you just make the decision that you're going to respond with gentleness? You're not going to react. You're just going to respond in a way that's gentle. And then would you just give it over to God? Choose not to be anxious and say, I'm not carrying this anymore. God, this is what I need you to do. Just real plainly. God, this is what I want you to do. This is what I need help with. This is what I can't fix. What is it that you need God to do? You can ask Him right now in this moment. Then I'm going to ask you just to replace whatever lie you've been believing with the truth. Maybe for a long time you've believed that you're not good enough or you're not going to make it, you're going to fail, you're going to be rejected. Just begin to say what God says about you. You're going to make it. God created you to do great things. God hasn't forgotten about you. Get your mind focused on the right things. And if you want to experience this right now in this moment, I believe God's going to give you peace. Don't believe the lie that you have to be stressed out and anxious. Paul says there's a different way to live, and right now you can experience that as we just give this stuff over to God. God, I pray in this moment that we would just breathe in your peace, your calmness in our hearts and minds. For those of us who have been carrying stuff in here, feel weighed down and worn out, God, would you just replace that with your joy, your peace in this moment? God, for some of us, it's been a long time since we've experienced that. In this moment, flood our hearts and minds with all that you are. Just breathe that in. Enjoy this. This is how God intended us to live.